Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Great music selections this morning from the notorious J Fig, J-F-I-G-G. I'm going to spell your name wrong.
God. I'll give you a sheet next time.
Right. Woo. Let's start that one over. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Joe Rose Show. We're starting all over. Pays to be a tight end in the NFL right now, by the way, if you were a good tight end. Travis Kelce, and it looks like George Kittle just signed a 5-year, $75 million extension as the top tight end in the NFL. And Travis Kelce also signed a pretty big deal. That's why we talk about Brevin Jordan.
Seriously.
And how good he is. Man, it used to be where the tight end position was, obviously an important position on the field, but not where he's the number one option on some of these teams. And obviously George Kittle is that in San Francisco. Kelce is close to that in Kansas City. I won't say with Tyreek Hill sitting there that he's the number one guy, but pays to be a tight end, man. If you're going to have a kid play football, maybe that tight end position, not the worst place to put him instead of wide receiver or somewhere else.
I hope Brevin Jordan isn't listening to this and hearing how much money George Kittle and Travis Kelce are getting and saying, hey, you know what? Maybe I opt out this coming year and protect my first round. No, please don't do it.
Yeah, we'll dump that so it's not on the air. No one can hear that. It never happened. I don't even know who George Kittle is. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, so it looks like a five-year, $75 million extension for Kittle and a 4-year, $57 million extension for Travis Kelce, the two tight end, top tight ends in the NFL right now. NFL season to be starting soon. I actually have some pretty good QAM news for you. I know that basically outside of the simulcast of Hawk and Crowder in the afternoons, us here in the morning, Joe Rose, myself, and Hollywood are the other local shows starting next week on Thursday nights. Once again, we're back. Zach in the Nose, the fantasy show.
Yes.
Is back. We've signed our deal and we are locked in to, we'll do some pre kind of draft shows starting next week on the 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. And we'll do a couple of those before the season starts. And then we'll be with you all season long, or as long as the season goes at this point, we'll be with you. And that was kind of my talk last night with a couple of my buddies. We were talking about fantasy football because obviously with football right around the corner, fantasy football, a billion-dollar industry, everyone is talking about that, especially if you're a big football fan, fantasy football fan, how the season will work out, what rules you have to put in place just in case something happens with COVID-19. Do you have extra roster spots? What do you do about the draft? And we had that meeting last night with me and my buddies in my league. And I thought it would take about 20 minutes or so. These guys were on a go-to meeting call. I didn't join until the end for about 2.5 hours talking about things that we have to worry about. What rule do we put in place here? It is truly amazing, obviously, what this is doing to the country, but fantasy football in general too, and sports. And we just saw that with, talking about the NBA schedule, what it's going to look like for the next 14 days, the college football landscape, where two of the five conferences right now are not even playing fall sports. And I believe it was Mark Emmert yesterday who came out and basically said, we're not going to crown a champion. If not everyone's playing, there's really not going to be no NCAA championships for the fall sports. Donna, when you hear that the first thing that comes to your mind is what?
I don't know. I don't like it. I know that even if you did crown a champion, there's probably an asterisk next to it. Cause you're going to crown a champion for the winner of three Power Fives when only, you know, three out of five are playing. So, but I still, to me, it's like, and usually on this side of the Power Fives with the ACC, SEC, and Big 12, you probably would be getting the majority of the college football playoff teams from that group anyway, right? Because the Pac-12 doesn't even always get in, and the Big Ten, unless Ohio State has a big year, doesn't always even get in. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to crown a champion, you can call it tainted if you want to, but I still would like to have seen them at least go through the motions of the college football playoff, because it is exciting. And you know, are you telling me once we get around, you know, late December, early January, when those games usually take place, that we're not going to miss it? We are going to miss it if we don't get that.
I don't know if you have the answer to this or not, because I don't know if anyone really does, but what the hell do you do with all the bowls? Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. You know, I was thinking out loud about that yesterday. I haven't seen anything definitive about bowl games where, because my first thought was, you know, if presumably, unless things get a lot better by then, and I hope they do, believe me, but presumably you're not going to be able to put people in stadiums or fill stadiums for bowl games. But the TV money, I think, is really what drives those things. Even and obviously it's nice for the local spots to be able to sell tickets and pad their pockets a little bit, but there's so much TV money behind those bowl with a big Capital One sponsor, and you know, they sell the hell out of those bowl games. So I don't know, but if you're not going to crown a champion, if you're not going to have a college football playoff, then do you have bowl games? I don't know what they're going to do there.
Right, and it's just amazing what is happening around sports and how it's changing the whole landscape of sports. I mean, you think about hockey. Hockey's going to come back after this playoffs are done, and they're going to start playing again in January, right? Is that when they're supposed to be coming back? I believe it's the end of December or January. NBA will crown a champion, I think, by like August 7th or October 17th, the latest, and then camps and everything are back open. I think the first game's in December. So it's like, you know, no one is kind of, you know, waiting or hopefully not going to wait. What do you think is going to end up happening NBA-wise? Because this bubble format obviously worked during the pandemic. No one has gotten, you know, COVID-19 inside or there hasn't been any kind of, you know, sort of outbreak in there with the testing and the bubble they're having. I feel like the NBA and hockey, even going into next regular season in general, going to try to do some sort of bubble format also.
It makes sense, and for those leagues, it's doable, right? I mean, it just can't be done in football because of all the staff and players you have. Like, you're talking 53-man rosters, gigantic staffs, coaching staffs, traveling staffs. Like, it just a bubble's just not feasible in that sport, and it's certainly not feasible for college football. Like, there's no way you can do that, right? But as far as, like, the NBA and the NHL, and even it worked for Major League Soccer as well in their Orlando bubble. Like, you have few enough moving parts that you can do a bubble. So, yeah, I mean, it's certainly, like, that's got to be their plan B, right? I'm sure their plan A for these upcoming seasons would be hope and pray that, you know, you've got a vaccine or that the infections are completely contained and you can go back to home stadiums. But they've already had successful runs in bubbles. So you've got to be thinking, hey, if we'll set like a deadline date that if by this day things aren't dramatically better, we go to plan B, and plan B is another bubble.
Right. And last night in the NBA, by the way, Portland wins a game against Brooklyn, 134-133. I couldn't stop watching that game. And they are now in that play-in for the playoff against Memphis. That game will take place Saturday, I believe, at 2:30. What did you think of the 22 teams invited to this bubble in Orlando to kind of do the play-in for the playoffs, the eight kind of quote-unquote regular season games before we get to the playoffs? Did you like the play-in format, and would you want to see something like that going forward in the NBA, where every year, no matter pandemic or not, there is some sort of play-in for that eight seed?
I mean, I feel terrible for the Phoenix Suns, but I think honestly, yeah, the play-in for the eight seed to me adds an extra element of excitement. I mean, it kind of reminds you of when Major League Baseball first started doing those like one game play-in playoff games. Like the NHL had play-in playoff series. That's technically the Panthers technically lost in a play-in, not playoff series against the Islanders. Like, to me, it definitely adds an extra element, and so I like it. I mean, I'm not one of these playoff elitists, right? You talk to some people, they want to make the playoffs smaller and more exclusive in every sport. I think if you're going to do a playoff, you might as well make it as inclusive as possible because it makes it more exciting. I mean, the more they expand the NCAA tournament, the more excited I get about that. Like, to me, when it comes to playoffs, I like more, not less.
Yeah, you know, it's weird, too, because I love the NCAA basketball tournament. I love March Madness. Not having it last year, I almost forgot that there wasn't, you know, a March Madness this year. And what happens next year with that? I even saw some reports about a kind of March Madness bubble that they're even trying to plan to have, you know, obviously some of those play-in games. I think it starts at 68 to get to 64. Maybe have those play-in games in some sort of little bubble and then move those teams.
They'd probably go right to Orlando because at the same facility where they're doing the NBA bubble. I mean, they have the luxury of having a number of courts there. And it's the funny thing about it, Zach. I love Disney World, and I know you do as well. For so many years, I'd drive around Disney and I'd drive past that Wide World of Sports complex, and I'm like, why is that thing even there? Like, what are they using all these gyms and all these? I know they have the Atlanta Braves, I think, play spring training there, so that's like the one time they use it. But I'm always like, why do they have this big complex? Like, it seems so pointless. And now it's like that complex was designed for a pandemic. Like, they knew someday we're going to use all these soccer fields for Major League Soccer. We're going to use all our courts for the NBA. Maybe they'll have March Madness there next year.
Only Disney could lose like $1 billion in 4 months by not having their parks open and still make a couple of million dollars every single day just having the NBA guys and the soccer guys there and still trying to get a little bit of money back. We have a couple text messages that come in. I want to read a couple for you. 305-567-0560 if you want to stay connected with us. Someone texted in, they just need to do like a lot of the minor leagues do, crown a first and second half champion with college football.
Yeah, I mean, why not crown, if they're going to go through with the fall seasons and then the spring season for the other two conferences, why not crown one champion for each? Now, I know some people have said, why not crown two champions and have them play each other in April? I don't think there's any way you can do that because, you're adding another week like into the NFL prep season, which is just not going to happen. And you can't expect the fall champion who's been off for like 4 or 5 months just to show up and play in another game. So I don't think that's feasible to do the overall champion. But yeah, I'd be fine with crowning a fall and a spring champion.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. I'm sure people would not... if you're team one, you wouldn't want to split it. But at that point, if you're just going to try to do something, someone also texted in, split the bowls between fall and spring. That's an interesting.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
There's too much money. I think you're right on that. There's way too much money involved with even the smaller bowls. Forget about the playoff bowls and the Jan 1 bowls and the actual national championship game. There's so much money. When you're talking about that stuff, I don't think they're just going to be able to just throw it out the window and say, don't worry about it. They're going to have to do something with that. But that's an interesting kind of situation by taking maybe the four big bowls and playing two of them now and two of them after. Because if you really realistically look at it, who plays in the Rose Bowl? It's, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. They're both not playing in the spring anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and the Orange Bowl is usually the ACC versus SEC or something close to that. So there's your two games, two conferences that are playing during the fall. So maybe you can come up with some sort of system. You're not going to appease everybody. Someone's going to be upset. Someone's going to be pissed off. You know, someone's going to win the national championship in the fall and say, we're the national champion, not Ohio State in the spring or someone like that. But at this point, you just try to get in whatever you can with sports. You try to get as much as you can in. It looks like Rick and Davey texted, and I'm guessing. That's great news for UCF. Once again, they'll be the undefeated national champions in 2020.
That is a good call.
He is the troll of trolls, man. Rick.
You know, and honestly, I will never not laugh at UCF jokes. Like, it never becomes... And, you know, I was giving hell to our friend Jeremy Taché on Twitter, who's the big UCF guy. He's always ripping on Miami fans for getting excited about recruits. Because, yeah, when Miami lands a 5-star, why are we not going to be excited about it? He's always ripping Miami. And so I always come back at this dude. Oh, yeah, if anyone knows how to celebrate fictional championships, it's UCF fans. It's like, come on. I mean, you celebrated a national title because there was one Fugazi poll that nobody's ever heard of that gave you the number one spot at the end of the season. And then I found out later that very same poll that had UCF number one had Manti Te'o's Notre Dame number one after they got steamrolled by Alabama in the national title game down here. And that's the evidence you use to celebrate what you refer to as a shared national title when that no longer exists.
It's just, it's, I mean, listen, the UCF stuff is always funny to laugh at, and I thought it was really funny when they had their, you know, championship parade in Disney World. Like, that's always funny to see stuff like that. But, you know, what are you going to do with that? Here, a couple more texts that came in. Bowl games are usually a few weeks after the regular season. Why not bubble the teams at the bowl site location before the game? Say season ends and you know exactly who's playing, or you know Alabama plays against a team in the Orange Bowl. They can head right there at the end of the season, bubble style, and then play the bowl game. Yeah, I guess that's... That would be the option, right?
Like, I like,
you know,
it.
Alabama's playing, you know, this team, or Miami's playing, what, you know, this team in a bowl game. You just bring them both there 2 weeks before or a week and a half before, test them there and have the bubble there. Yeah, I guess that's an option.
Yeah.
I just don't know how all these bowl games are going to be played. Like, we normally have, you know, 58,000 bowl games starting in like December 15th and go all the way until the national championship game. That might be the issue with playing all these games. So who knows? But yeah, I think... Listen, there's too much. You've said it, and we'll say it a million times. There's too much money associated with bowl games to not at least try to play some of them, to not get them in. So we'll see what all these things. I know Eric Palms in the Orange Bowl definitely wants the bowl games to be played. He's actually hosting the national championship game this year here in
right.
Miami. Right. So remember, that game is here. It's at Hard Rock Stadium.
Is it even going to happen, though, now is my question.
Who knows what will end up happening with that. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. If you got any text messages, send them in. 305-567-0560. Alex Dono, Jay Figg in today for Joe and Hollywood. We'll be back right after this. More very good music choices. Jay Figg in the back. Excuse me,
she's killing it.
Jay Figg, right?
She is killing it.
I'm dancing right now. This is so exciting for me. It's my favorite part.
It's Friday morning. Everyone's got huge plans for the weekend. You know, nothing really going on. Hollywood's got big plans for the weekend. Probably at home right now. welcome to the show, Alex Dono, Jay Figg here with us this morning. Joe and Hollywood off today. They should be back on Monday. And the text machine is open, 305-567-0560. We have a couple nasty ass texters out there right now. I'm not going to even talk about what they're writing in right now.
Well, I brought out the nasty UCF fans.
Wow, I can't believe what happens when you bring up UCF.
Allow me to explain something on my stance on UCF, because this guy, he's calling us a lot of nasty names and how jealous I am of UCF's, you know, quote unquote, national championship season. Here's my point to why I make fun of UCF fans, okay? I'm not denying that in recent years they have been better and more successful than my Miami Hurricanes. I'm not denying that. I strictly take issue with pretending you won a national championship. Now, it's one thing to say, I really believe we were robbed of the opportunity of going to the college football playoff, because they might have been, okay? But Zach, back in 2002, I believe my Miami Hurricanes beat Ohio State in the national title game. I believe they won that game fair and square. It was robbed. Yet, I don't go around pretending Miami won the national championship in 2002. In the year 2000, Miami should have been in the BCS title game, but they were robbed of that spot. Somehow Florida State went to the championship game ahead of Miami, even though they were both one-loss teams, and Miami beat Florida State head-to-head. So Miami was robbed of a chance to play for a championship. I don't pretend Miami won a championship in the year 2000, okay? So it's one thing to think you were robbed of the opportunity to play for a title. It's another thing just to pretend you won that title. Those are two completely different things.
Right. Yeah, it's a little different situation there. And that's why it wasn't just any fans down here in South Florida. Probably fans all around the country are making fun of UCF after that. When you have your own... when you have your own championship parade in Disney World for something that you really didn't win, I mean, that's it. That's, you know, that kind of says it all right.
I mean, Fantasyland was the appropriate place to have that parade, so they did it.
Right. 305-567-0560 is the text line if you want to stay connected with us. Okay, that guy just wrote back. right on cue. I was about to read text, and that guy, right on cue.
We are living rent-free in his head today.
Woo-wee. That guy's having a hell of a morning. Here's one that says, I know you hate UCF, but in 2016, the year before they won the national championship, the Big 12 denied them entry into the conference. If they were part of the Big 12, no one would be disputing the championship. Big 12 10 members and Big 10 14 members are so screwed up with their names. Maybe this pandemic will fix the names, conferences, and realignments. Sir or ma'am, whoever texted that in, correct. If you were in the Big 12, you would have had a better chance. The difference is you weren't.
Yeah, right.
But that's, you're right. If you were denied entry into the conference, then that's, you know, that it just is what it is. You can't really do anything about that. But, you know, and plus, if you were in the Big 12, there's a probably better chance you didn't go undefeated.
Yes, I agree. And even for argument's sake, if they say, well, what if we were in the Big 12 and did go undefeated? It still didn't happen. Like, as soon as you start claiming a national championship based on hypotheticals, that's where your argument becomes fiction.
Someone actually wrote this and said, after listening to Hollywood whine and bitch all week, it's refreshing to have Figgy Fresh in today playing some great tunes.
Oh, that's so sweet. Right. Thank you. There's
someone who's having a happy Friday. Not our crazy guy who keeps texting in, by the way. Keeps texting. Oh, no, the last one was just go bleep yourselves. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I feel bad for the guy because I can't imagine there's a whole lot going on in, like, Orlando sports talk radio. So he probably has to listen to us because who knows what they're doing up there.
First off, we appreciate you listening. Second off, can't read any of your texts. So you can keep sending them in there and we will have a good laugh during the breaks at you. But I will not read any of those text messages because I really like my job and I'm sure Jay Figg and Dono does too. Oh my God, UCF is amazing. They have the fake national championship banner and parade. Wait, how many Hall of Famers came from UCF? How many championships does Miami have? Sit your ass down, UCF fanboy. Woof. Okay, so we don't have to fight our fight. We have other texters fighting our fight for us today. Someone said no Florio today. No, he joined us yesterday, by the way, on the show. We replayed that earlier if you did miss it. But Mike Florio did join us very early in the show today. 305-567-0560 is the text line if you want to stay connected. I know that Ira Winderman just tweeted out a couple minutes ago about what the game's going to look like today at 4 o'clock for Heat and Pacers. Well, I don't want to say junior varsity because all the guys are in the NBA and that would be taking a shot at anyone even sitting on the bench in the NBA. But I believe the injured list has Jimmy Butler, the Dragon on it, and Bam. And on the other side of it, I think TJ Warren, Victor Oladipo, and a couple others are not playing either. So you will see a lot of people at the end of the bench playing in this game today, which is meaningless because it doesn't matter who wins this game, who loses this game. Maybe it changes if the Heat are the actual 4 or 5 seed, but it doesn't change the matchup, doesn't change what's going to end up happening starting on Monday with the NBA playoffs. The only game right now that means anything when it comes down to the playoffs is the game going to be played, I believe, Saturday at 2:30 when Portland and Memphis square off in the play-in game to see who plays the Lakers, by the way.
Yeah,
in the first round of the playoffs. So you win that game, your present and your grand prize from that is Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Congratulations.
Portland, I think, could at least make it interesting if Dame can have a couple games where he just goes off for 50-plus. Like, I don't think they win the series, but they can make it fun.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that, too. I think Portland would be I think if you ask LeBron James with some truth serum in him right now, he wants to play Memphis. And not play Portland because Portland will give them a tougher challenge in that first round. Plus, like you said, right now, outside of Devin Booker, who now is not in the playoffs, even though that team did not lose a game, which is tremendous achievement by that Phoenix Sun team to go 8-0 in the bubble.
Yeah.
Not lose a game and still not make into the playoffs, the actual playoff system. Dame Lillard right now is playing out of his mind. Think of the last 3 games. He's had 50, 60, and last night he had 42.
And that was just 42 was a slow night for him.
Right.
Only 42.
Right. Shot 8 of 14 from 3-point land, 13 of 22 from the field. Oh, by the way, also threw out 12 assists. So he accounted for a ton of those points.
Wow.
One thing I have noticed in the bubble, and I'm sure you have too, I know Washington, Boston last night was a 96-90 finish. All these games are like ABA scores from like the late 70s and the early 70s. Sacramento and the Lakers, 136-122. Portland and Brooklyn last night, 134-133. I guess I'm all for no defense, right? Or maybe it will change.
See, I'm not.
When the playoffs start on Monday?
I would think it changes when the playoff starts because the intensity is automatically going to go up, and just like the amount of familiarity you get playing each other every couple days for 4 to 7 games. I think it's gonna settle down a little bit. But I mean, do you have like any theory like as for why these games are so high scoring? Do you think with the condensed season, guys just don't want to maybe play hard enough to risk injury heading into the playoffs? Do you think maybe playing in empty arenas just kind of automatically, it makes it feel more like a practice than it does like a real game? Or is the NBA just continuing to evolve into a higher scoring sport before our eyes? Like, do you have any theory as to why we've seen ABA type of scores?
I just think that, once the playoffs start, it's almost like the same thing in the NFL I would just say NFL and NBA in general, because with hockey, you really can't tell, and baseball, obviously not at all, but everything changes once the playoffs start. Everybody kind of, like, even the rotations right now with the Heat, Eric Spoelstra is going to find his playoff rotation very quickly in this Pacers series. The same 7 or 8 guys you're going to see a lot of play from. Maybe you won't see him go directly into the bench. Even in the NFL, are there a lot of really high scoring playoff games? I can't remember off the top of my head. I could be missing a 50 point blowout last year in the playoffs and not even thinking about it. But in general, I just think everything does change once you go from, okay, regular season's over, now we're in game one of the first round of the playoffs, or now we're in the wild card game in the NFL. Everything does kind of get a little bit slower because of the fact that there's so much more meaning in those games. When it comes to the playoffs. So, yeah, I don't anticipate seeing 134, 133 games or 140 points in the playoffs. Yet, I don't know if I'd be that shocked if some of these games got to that, because there's a lot of really good scores in the NBA nowadays. Not that there wasn't in the 80s or 90s or even the early 2000s, but, like, you look at any given night and you see Dame Lillard going for 42 or T.J. Warren going for 50, or Caris LeVert going for 37.
Yes.
I hope I said his name right there. There's just a lot of scoring in the NBA. It doesn't look like there's a lot of defense. The Portland scored 42 points in the second quarter last night and 37 in the fourth.
Well, and didn't the last Heat game, didn't Miami have like a 41, 42 point first quarter? They had they had a crazy first quarter. I mean, I could agree with this text. He says, I think coaches aren't showing hands defensive scheme wise. It could be, especially since this is not like a normal end to the regular season that, teams had been away from the game for 4 months and then they come back for like a condensed, mini season in the bubble. Like I could totally see that in this situation why you would want to maybe show a little bit less of your cards.
Right. Yeah. And that's probably it also. No one's going to sit out there like today in the Pacer Heat game. They're going to play on Monday for game one. What do you think you're going to see today? I think Eric Spoelstra might just sit back on the bench and let Chris Quinn coach a team today. What's the point today of doing anything, showing anything scheme-wise or any kind of rotation? Yeah, you're going to sit all your players, make sure they're rested up and ready to go for Monday for the real start of this. There's no meaning to this game today. I don't even know what the schedule looks like for today's games in general, but like, what are you going to get out of any of these games? Last night and yesterday was probably one of the coolest days of basketball because there was so much to play for in that Western Conference trying to get into that play-in game. I mean, you have Nuggets-Raptors 1:30 today means absolutely nothing. Heat-Pacers 4 o'clock means nothing. Thunder-Clippers 6:30, nothing. 76ers-Rockets, nothing. You think James Harden or Kawhi Leonard or Jokic or any of these guys play today? I think you're not going to see any of these guys today.
I mean, I'm glad to see that Indiana is resting T.J. Warren for the inevitable humiliation that he's going to face in this series coming up with the Heat. And listen, like, to T.J. Warren's credit, he's been like one of the better players in the bubble since the restart. But I think the last matchup between Heat and Pacers like showed you that he's got nothing on Jimmy Butler. Like, I know the two of these guys jaw at each other. They've got their issues going back to the pre-pandemic, the whole middle finger and the shushing thing that Jimmy did to him, and that continued the last time around. But, you know, this is like, this series is the worst possible matchup for TJ Warren, because Jimmy Butler has a personal agenda against him and is going to want to go the extra mile to shut him down defensively. So while Warren has had a cute little, you know, has had a nice little bubble, he's been cute these last several games, but I don't see him doing anything this coming series, thanks to Jimmy.
Right. And I guess on ESPN.com, they did with the 17 teams left now in the playoffs, obviously with the play-in game on Saturday, then they'll make it 16. The kind of way a team could win a championship or not, they're calling the MVP of the restart for the Heat Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero has really played well the last couple of games, that's for sure.
Yeah, like I was kind of leaning to Duncan Robinson, but I think there is something to Hero. Like, Hero, to me, is definitely, he's been like the most improved Heat player since the restart. Like, I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think there's like a bad direction to go between Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, who's been shooting out of his mind. I could go either way.
Right. And it says the one wild bubble prediction for the Heat. It says, this looks like Nick Friedell wrote this one. I don't believe the Heat can win it all this season. I think they still need one more star, but I do think an upset of the top-seeded Bucks is possible.
Wow.
Miami has the length and defensive intensity to match Milwaukee. They're going to be a lot of fun watching the Greek Freak and Butler square off for 7 games. That's an interesting hot take right there.
I mean, it's going to be hysteria, man. I mean, if we can take out the Bucks in the second round.
Right.
Oh, that might be a pots and pans worthy series. Like, I don't know. Would it be like classless of me to bang pots and pans outside for a second round, like Eastern Conference semifinal series? Or, because I think knocking out the Bucks is a big deal if that could happen.
Yeah, they're the number one seed. They have the best player, probably the MVP of this league, unless LeBron gets it. But I think the Greek Freak will end up getting it. Best record all season long. Defense was great before the bubble. I say before the bubble because they haven't played great defensively in the bubble so far. So that's going to really, if that stays the way it is, I think they are a little bit more vulnerable than they were during the regular season or before the kind of restart happened. But if the Heat get by the Pacers and the Bucks, which should get to the second round, that second round series might be the most watched series, even with the Western Conference, because I feel like every matchup in the Western Conference is like a really good matchup and a fun, you know, series to watch. But Bucks Heat second round, if you can get Jimmy Butler and Bam and the Greek Freak and Chris Middleton and those two teams out there, that will be a lot of fun to watch. They're intriguing matchups in the West, but that could be one of the most fun ones to watch in the Eastern Conference throughout the whole thing. I mean, the Eastern Conference Finals could be whoever and whoever. But if somehow the Heat and the Bucks play in that second round, I wonder how many experts would say, outside of Nick Friedell writing this article, that the Heat can beat in a 7-game series, beat the Bucks 4 times in a 7-game series. I think the Bucks, I think they lost like 14 games all season long.
I mean, you know, one thing that would play into the Heat's favor, given the circumstance, is if this were a regular playoff, you know, the Bucks obviously would have 4 out of those 7 games in their home arena,
right,
and that,
right,
that's taken away. Like, I don't know if that makes enough of a difference to say that, oh, this gives the Heat a great chance to pull off the upset, but at least you know that if it does get to a 7th game, normally in a 7th game, the lower seed is at a huge disadvantage because you have to go into hostile territory.
Right.
You have to step into a lion's den because the crowds are always extra crazy in a game 7 and the pressure gets higher for your role players because usually it's the bench guys who usually wilt like under those big road game 7s and it's usually the home team that gets the better play out of their role players. But I mean, you're going to be in a gym where the only advantage the Bucks are going to have are they're going to have more fans on their virtual board, right? Like sitting at home on a webcam. Like that's the only advantage they would get there.
Right. A couple of texts that just came in. Jacoby from Jalen Jacoby said, put it in writing, the Heat will upset the Bucks. Scalabrini,
yes,
was on with us yesterday. He says they could beat them also. So yeah, a lot of these guys are coming out saying this. It's just interesting because it is the best player in the NBA right now on that team. And they have a pretty good team top to bottom, a deep team as well. Can the Heat kind of, and I say no names because they don't have a real, real star. Jimmy Butler very close to being that guy. A lot of young guys in this team, Bam, an up-and-coming guy, but not like the Greek Freak when it comes to stars in the NBA. We'll come back. We're going to wrap everything up in the next day. We'll wrap the week up also. That's Alex Dono and Jay Figg here with me today. Joe Rose and Hollywood out. They'll be back on Monday. We'll wrap things up right after this.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea, and he told us of his life.
Well done. In the land. I like the music today. Good music selection by the notorious J-Fig, J-F-I-G-G. I had to give her a different name today just because she's with us and not in the afternoon. Alex Dono here as well. We'll wrap things up here. Joe Rose Show, Joe and Hollywood off today. They will be back on Monday as long as their suspension, as long as their vacation is over by then. I don't want to get any rumors sparked. I don't need Barry Jackson writing a column on what I just said right then and there.
Oh, I know. I'm going to check my DMs. I'm going to have Barry in there like, hey, can you confirm Joe and Hollywood suspended?
I heard Zach say on the air that, I mean, if he actually writes that to you, it won't sound like that. But 305-567-0560 is our text machine. If you want to get in before we get out of here for the weekend, I'll read a couple more texts. This one says, let's stop talking about beating the Bucks. We still need to get past the Pacers. Right, correct. I know we're already automatically going through them, but I suspect it to be a 4-1, maybe at the worst 4-2 win in the series for the Heat. Dono, are you on the same page?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a sweep, but I'm thinking 5-6 at worst. Like to me, if it even gets to a seventh game, I'd be very surprised. And I'm basing that on the Heat having the better squad first and foremost, and also having success against Indiana throughout the season. To me, the math does not add up that Indiana would beat Miami this series. I think if they do, it's probably either maybe the Heat, and I knock on wood this doesn't happen, maybe lost an important player during the series, or Spo just does an epically poor coaching job, which I'm not expecting.
Right. That would actually shock me the most out of anything happening, is if at the end of this series, the Heat lose, and it's because Eric Spoelstra just made some just dummy moves as a coach. That just doesn't seem like the Eric Spoelstra that we all have grown to love over the last couple of years. Heat should make quick work of the Pacers in the first round. 5-game gentleman sweep. Okay, good text there. The Heat are the next team in 1-10. We don't have any top five players, but we also don't have any bad players. I think that the no home court helps us more than any other team because we're so good across the board and fundamentally sound. I could see us getting to the finals and surprising everyone. How about that?
I mean, I hope they're right. And listen, I know somebody was criticizing us for talking about the Bucks when we're not focusing on the Pacers, but listen, we're radio guys and we're fans. Now, if Spoelstra was talking about the Bucks, then you have a problem. But it's okay for us to look ahead. All right.
Right. Can you imagine today? Today, if somehow Spoelstra talks and he's like, "Yeah, I know in the first round we're going to be playing the Pacers, but we're really studying the Bucks right now." I mean, you want to talk about most
we're studying the Lakers too, just in case.
Right. I just told Chris Quinn to, I keep using Chris Quinn as my example. Chris Quinn's been studying the Lakers now for the last couple minutes. We're good to go. We should be ready for the Lakers or the Clippers in the finals. Yeah, that'd be nice. Zach and Donna, you're just like Hollywood UCF haters. Laugh out loud. Rick in Davey.
So is Rick and Davey a UCF fan? I don't. Yes. You can give me the backstory on this because I don't know it. Because I know Rick and Davey, he's a fan of like seven teams in every sport. I didn't realize that was one of them.
Right. I think Rick, his favorite teams are everyone east of the Mississippi River. Like, I just think that he's got 72 teams he likes. Ask him who his favorite baseball teams are. He will literally give you 12 teams that he roots for. But UCF, he's kind of been on this kick, especially in our show, because, listen, Hollywood is, an USF guy, and USF and UCF, that's the big rivalry, I guess, when it comes to those two schools.
The war on I-4.
Right, the war on I-4, which is actually a pretty cool name.
It is.
But yeah, he trashes UCF. UCF people trash him. So yeah, that's just how it kind of goes there. Someone asked an interesting question that I think I've answered already. Zach is a Gators Hurricanes fan. Which side do you lean on in the Twitter wars between the two?
Ooh, that's a great question.
When they did play, I did have my Gator gear on.
So
I root for, like I've said to, I think the most notorious person I said it to was Randy Shannon. When I was up front and close and personal in an interview with him, I said, I root for the Hurricanes 51 weeks a year unless they play the Gators. or 52 weeks a year unless they play the Gators, and that'll be the one week where I'm not, and I think I've been kind of loyal to that over the years. I grew up as a Hurricanes fan. I grew up in the Orange Bowl. I grew up watching, hating Notre Dame and still do. I grew up hating Florida State. Luckily now, even with my Florida connection, I still hate Florida State like most Hurricane fans do. But when they do play, and they did play in that game, you know, was it last year or the year before, 2 years ago, I was rooting for the Gators. So that's where that Twitter war between the two goes to.
Yeah, it's tough. It's like still... I have a couple friends that like I grew up with, or I think one of them I became friends with later, who were both Miami fans growing up, who then went to Florida for college. And one of them even stayed a Miami fan and never adopted Florida for the 4 years he was there. The other got indoctrinated, became a full-blown Gators fan. I think the difference between the two was one of them was a little bit older than the other. One of them was there when Florida didn't win anything, and the other was there when they won. I think he was there for two national titles, I think, Chris Leak and Tim Tebow. So I guess it was impossible for him not to catch the fever up there.
Right. Like, I got there the year after they won the 96 championship. I was there in 97, and I left before Tebow or the two championships in basketball. So while I was there, the UF team was pretty much a loser team. Like, we won games and won the SEC East, I think, 1 year, but never won a national championship. But I was at the big games in the 80s and early 90s for that Hurricane football team. I was at all the Notre Dame home games, all the Florida State wide rights, wide lefts. Whenever they were here in Miami, I was there. My dad is still a diehard Hurricane fan. When the Hurricanes and the Gators play, I can't be in the same house with them. He won't even allow me in.
Oh, I love Big Man. I love Papa Krantz. Papa Krantz is notorious.
Him. Like we when that Gator game was down, what was it, the Gator-Canes game years ago that was at like noon? Remember that early game?
Yes, I do. 2013, I believe.
We went with Crowder. Crowder and T and myself, my brother, Greg Likens, and my dad all jumped into Crowder's car to go to the game. Greg was in neutral gear because he is not a real big Canes fan or Gators fan. My dad was in all Canes gear from socks to hat, and the rest of us were in blue for the Gators. And my dad, the entire way home, Gators didn't win that game, was singing basically the Hurricanes fight song. And it was really,
I love it.
In front of Crowder, you know, in front of all of us. So
Papa Krantz is my spirit animal. Right, he is the best.
He's invited to all the Canes tailgates. Every time he goes out there, he has Cuban food and beers and doesn't pay for anything. Perfect Canes fan to be out there at the tailgates for that. We'll end on this one for the week because I think this is a perfect way, a perfect text to end. Rick and Davey is a loser. So there you go. That'll end it for the text line. And he's a Knicks fan, so enough said. Somebody texted and also. That's it. So, Dono, I appreciate today you coming in. Jay Figg as well. You both came in here for... Now, like I always say... The first morning as a fill-in is okay. It's when you get to day two and three, you both will not have to deal with that. So you're lucky for that. But I do appreciate both you guys coming in this morning and helping out. Jay Figg, great job on the music and everything and all the bad computer issues we had back there that we're not supposed to talk about on the air, but I do anyway. And Dono, I appreciate you having to deal with Luca also, who really just wanted to be on your computer all morning long and you kept him.
Oh, he wanted to do the show with me. Like, he woke up at like 7:15. He wanted to sit here and do the show. Maybe I should let him next time.
Right. We almost had Luca's headlines instead of Hollywood's headlines this morning. All right. For Jay Figg, for Dono, for Joe and Hollywood, stay safe out there. Have a great weekend. Stay connected with us on the text line as well. Levitard Show with Stu Gotz is coming up next. We'll speak to you on Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.